temple maintenance. The areas we'll cover, we'll lightly touch on temple conditioning, which will be the physical side. That'll be much later. I'll emphasize tonight the importance of temple maintenance, the nutritional side topic. What I'd like to start with is just a little bit of where I'm coming from in the area of nutrition. I'm probably like many of you all as a child. When I was good, I was rewarded with sweets, with goodies, and that really set an atmosphere in my life for when I was good, I would get rewarded, and when I was feeling bad, I wanted something to reward me, and I often reverted to sweets and to goodies. What that did to me in the ninth grade, I was just a regular ninth grader, and I weighed 225 pounds. That's more than I weigh now. At present, I'm 6'5", about 215, so that was quite heavy for a little guy. And through the years, I lost some weight, and as I went to college, I played football. During my sophomore year of college, I had mononucleosis, and after coming back from college that spring, I started working out with some young men that encouraged me to get into nutrition, and they mentioned several supplements that I'll be mentioning through the evening. As I graduated from college, I weighed 250 pounds and deeply desired to cut some of that weight before it became a detriment to my health. Moving to High Point, North Carolina for a year of the Reach Out training, I started cutting the weight improperly, I believe, with fasting. Let me just take a detour here and touch on fasting, tell you a little bit about my story. I think there are several good books. I have one here on the spiritual aspects of fasting, and it's just called Fasting by Milton E. Poole. Another good one is Fasting Can Save Your Life by Shelton. Another good one is God's Chosen Fast by Wallace. Those are ones the hygienic approach, the American hygienic approach. Let me clarify what that means, qualify that. The American hygienic approach to fasting is just solid fasting on pure water. The European approach is fasting on fruit juices or vegetable juices. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Author Wallace's book is based somewhat on Fasting to Save Your Life by Shelton. So if you read those books, I would suggest one further book by Pavel Arola, which is entitled Fasting. Let's see, Fasting Can Keep You Young and Healthy by Pavel Arola. I made the mistake of doing several long juice fasts, water fasts. I say long, longer than 3 days, some 5 days, some 7 days, some 9 days. And through the months that I was in High Point, North Carolina, my energy level dipped drastically. I remember out jogging one day, just during a fast, which was perhaps improper, feeling like I was about to die, literally about to die. But I was trying to cut some weight, and I knew that nothing should be wrong with me. And I happened to be passing Maggie Crow's health food store in High Point, and just walked on in my jogging togs and got to talking to her, and she suggested some supplements and nutritional supplements. But while we're talking about fasting, let me tell you about the proper way of fasting. I think one of the most logical, one of the most healthful ways of fasting is the European approach to fasting, which is juice fasting. And that's from time to time going on short. Let's clarify short. Short in juice fasting, because you're adding nutrition to the body, would be anywhere from 7 to 10 days. From time to time, going on a good cleansing juice fast. Now, what that does, after 3 days, the body goes into what's called autolysis, A-U-T-O-L-Y-S-I-S. And autolysis means the body starts eating, decomposing what's been stored. Let me read to you here what Pavel Arola calls a prolonged fast. During a prolonged fast, after the first 3 days, your body will live on its own substance. When it is deprived of the needed nutrition, your body will burn and digest its own tissues by the process of autolysis, or self-digestion. But your body does not do it indiscriminately. In its wisdom, and here lies the secret of the extraordinary effectiveness of fasting, is curative and rejuvenating therapy. Your body will first decompose and burn those cells and tissues which are diseased, damaged, aging, or dead. In fasting, your body feeds itself on the most impure and inferior material, such as dead cells and morbid accumulations, catch this, tumors, abscesses, damaged tissues, fat deposits, etc. Dr. Birchinger, one of the greatest fasting authorities in the world, called fasting very pertinently a refuge disposal, a burning of rubbish. These dead cells and inferior tissues are consumed and utilized first. The essential tissues and vital organs, the glands, the nervous systems, and the brain are spared. That's just a little bit of an insight on fasting. I've been practicing fasting, I guess, for the last 4 years. from time to time. I was inspired to do so at a youth evangelism, Institute of Basic Youth Conflict under the direction of Mr. Bill Gothard. But I was not instructed properly how to do that. Mr. Arola goes into quite a bit of detail, and as I talk tonight, I'll be referring to several books, hoping to just skim the surface, get you exposed to some of the authors that I and many others trust in and adhere to and follow the advice of. But juice fasting not only cleanses the system, after the 3 days it starts self-digesting rubbish, goes a step further, and gives the body the needed break. My first exposure to fasting was that the body, every 7 days, as God so instructed the Jews not to pick up the manna, the body needed that rest, especially the eliminatory organs. Every 7 days was a good idea. From time to time, as Shelton points out in Fasting to Save Your Life, an extended fast is necessary, especially for therapeutic reasons. As Pavel Arola points out in a later chapter in this book, he points out several case studies. Let me mention some of these to you, and these are, again, juice fasting rather than water fasting. Europeans emphasize juice fasting, whereas Americans, somewhat behind the times, emphasize water fasting. Pavel Arola points out Mr. C.H., age 72, arthritis in knees and spine, neuritis in legs, emphysema, cured. Ms. W.K., 58, angina, chronic low back pain, high blood pressure, cured. Mrs. A.J., 64, high blood pressure, irregular heartbeat, chronic headaches, cured. Ms. C.F., 28, asthma, cured. Ms. L.K., 54, chronic bronchitis, chronic tonsillitis, high blood pressure, cured. Ms. A.Y., 48, arthritis, overweight, psoriasis, cured. So several cases pointed out in this book. He has another one. This is entitled, Are You Confused? Answering several major questions. A real good book for a resource, just finding out about different problems, different questions that you might have in the area of nutrition. Backing up to juice fasting. One of the primary entities involved in the process of juice fasting, and I think you're an adult audience, I think you'll appreciate this, is if you understand anything about the body chemistry, the body makeup, and the body processes, as you start self-digesting, the old cells, the poor material, is going to be digested and goes through the small intestine, small intestine and the large intestine, and there the nutrients are absorbed. Now then, you're probably logical minded as I am. Seems like if I've ingested a bunch of junk and that's been stored as fat, that when that fat starts breaking down, if the liver withdraws some of that fat for energy, that those toxins and poisons are going to be released. Those toxins and poisons are going to be reabsorbed along with the junk, the only nutrition that the body has, though, out of the large intestine. Does that make sense? So far, so good? That junk, that poison, the toxin, the preservatives, the preventatives, the artificial colors, have been stored in the system, inadvertently, in the fat, goes into the bloodstream from the large intestine. And there, because it's in the bloodstream, will be filtered out by the kidneys. But before it can be all filtered out by the kidneys, it feeds the brain. The brain constantly in need of glucose. The fats broken down into glycogens and lipids by the blood, by the liver. And the glycogens, the glucose to feed the brain, is a low-grade glucose. It's like putting regular into a car that burns high octane fuel. Putting Gulftain in one of those high octane automobiles. And the brain really gets a bad feedback. Now then, one of the best ways, and let me refer to another gentleman, one of the best ways to cleanse the body and to detoxify the system while fasting, which is one of the, I think, the best way in the world, keep slim, keep rejuvenated, keep healthy. His name is Dr. William Donald Kelly, and he advocates enemas. Pavel Arola says no one should go on any kind of juice fast without enemas. Enemas is just the regular enema kit, which cleanses the colon. Now, Kelly goes perhaps all the way as far as enemas are concerned. His is a cancer therapy. I have several of these available if you'd like to peruse them. But Kelly emphasizes a coffee enema. Now, a water enema does loosen up the collected fecal matter on the walls of the intestine. But the coffee enema goes a step further in that the coffee stimulates the liver and the gallbladder to flush out any of the stored toxins that it's trying to save the body from being exposed to. The caffeine coming from that direction is a stimulant to get rid of toxins. Coming in from the mouth and ingested coffee, caffeine, builds up toxins. makes one toxic. I think caffeine is a stimulant, and any adult that uses it needs to be aware as to what detriments can be incurred by its use. One of the brochures here, a fellow by the name of Dr. Kerry Reams, emphasizes the danger of coffee in that not the caffeine is a detriment, but more the chlorofluoric acid over years breaks down the nerve responses. So Dr. Kelly encourages one to use the coffee enemas, which stimulate not only the gallbladder but the liver to cast off any poisonous material and then is flushed out immediately from the system. So if you're considering going into fasting and you just lay your hands on one book on fasting, perhaps from an American author, I highly encourage you, because of the problems that I've had through the years of indiscriminate fasting, just ignorant fasting, I would encourage you to bear in mind that when those dull feelings, those lethargic feelings come, that the main reason is not because there's a lack of food. Contrary-wise, one would find in Dr. Arola's material that one is usually more energetic during the fast when the fast is done properly. First day of a fast, there's a good feeling. Second day of a fast, if you're not cleansing the colon and cleansing the toxins, there's a very, very bad feeling, nausea. Into the third and fourth day, you can really do some damage. And if you go on a prolonged fast, could perhaps do your body irrevocable damage. So I would encourage you to remind yourself, when you're going into consideration of fasting, for spiritual reasons. That's how I got into it. And I wish this were more of a spiritualized seminar. I'd like to go into the background of the spiritual side, but I want to take all the time I can to emphasize the nutritional side. Whether it be for spiritual or nutritional reasons, fasting ought to always be complemented with enemas, whether you go herb tea enemas or coffee enemas. Now, I might be able to answer some questions about that in a little while, but let me move on. Those were some of the mistakes I made during fasting. I didn't know to do enemas, and therefore lost a real large amount of my energy level because of perhaps some liver damage. Another thing about fasting, not during the fast itself, but the breaking of the fast, I made some horrendous mistakes. Any fool can fast, but it takes a real wise man to break a fast properly. For every 3 days you fast, you ought to come off the fast, giving yourself 1 day of gradual returning to the regular diet. If you fast for 3 days, you ought to give yourself a day on fruit. If you have fast for 6 days, you ought to give yourself a day on fruit and then perhaps some light vegetables, yogurts. Some seeds and nuts before you get back into your regular diet. If you fast 9 days, just add another day of the process. And this is described by Dr. Arola in one of his books, fasting book. Well, let's go from there. Now, that's how I lost the weight, through the fasting, probably improperly. I believe improperly. But I wanted my energy level to increase. And I went back to Maggie Crow. I was jogging by her store that day, and I asked her about what should I take to increase my energy level. She suggested vitamins. Now, I'm all for vitamins, but there's a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins, and I think you as ministers ought to be aware of the con game that's going on in the market of nutrition. You can walk into a health food store and it just blow you away, your pocketbook especially, the prices, and by the same token, some of the synthetic ingredients that are used to supplement vitamins. One nationally known supplement, it's not purported by the distributor, by the manufacturer to be all natural, but somehow as it filters down through the organization, supervisors, area-wide supervisors, distributors, somehow it comes out to be an all natural vitamin. I was a distributor for this company at one time and thought that it was all natural. But as I started reading the label, and here's the key as to how you can discern whether or not a vitamin is all natural or synthetic. If it's all natural, vitamin A will be from cod liver oil or fish liver oil, shark liver oil. If it's synthetic, it'll be palmitate or acetate. Vitamin B's, for instance, B1, will be, if it's synthetic, thiamin. If it's natural, it'll be from rice bran or from yeast. B2 will be riboflavin if it's synthetic. But if it's natural, it'll be from, as above, rice bran, yeast, liver. B3, if it's synthetic, will be niacinamide or nicotinic acid would be B3 if it's synthetic. B6 would be pyridoxine hydrochloride. B12 is usually cocobalamin, which is a ferment derivation, a natural, more of a natural resource than anything. Vitamin C C, if it's synthetic, will be ascorbic acid. Vitamin D will be rated either degosterol or calciferol or vitamin D2 or 3. But if it's a natural source, it'll be, again, fish liver oils, cod liver oil. Vitamin E will be E, perhaps E-D, little numeral 1, alpha tocopherol, if it's synthetic. The 1 means it's synthetic. If it's a natural, it'll be vitamin E from natural sources, vitamin E-D, alpha tocopherol, beta gamma, et cetera, other tocopherols. That's just a little brief on how to tell the difference between vitamin synthetic or natural. Always look for your B vitamins to be of a yeast derivation. It's just a clue. Now, when I was taking synthetic vitamins, and I just wasn't getting the response I wanted to until I started getting on the natural vitamins. But let me make a parenthetical point there. When you boil your body down, you break it down to its most fine components, you'll have 10 ounces of vitamins and 10 pounds of minerals. So let me turn you on to a real fine book as to determine what type of vitamins are good and what type of minerals are best and most important. It's an old book, Let's Keep Right, Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit by Adele Davis. Adele Davis has passed away now. There's controversy about her death. She died of a cancer, which she attributes to during the writing of her final book. She was asked to come in because of the author's taking out, of the editor's taking out an insurance policy on her life to take some x-rays of her whole body, just for a regular physical. And the x-rays didn't take, so she came back the very next day at the age of 70 and went through a whole one full series, batteries of x-rays, and another one just to make sure. So within a 24-hour period, she was exposed to perhaps all the x-ray you and I are ever exposed to. She died of bone cancer, which is thought to be perhaps caused from time to time by x-ray. She never felt right since. Her book is excellent. Linda Clark has a book on nutrition, similar to Adele Davis's. Takes every vitamin, takes every mineral, tells you what they do, what deficiencies are symptomized by, and how to get it in the natural source. I would highly recommend Adele Davis's book, any of her books. She has written also Let's Cook It Right, Let's Have Healthy Children, and Let's Get Well, three other books. They're just good, basic, all-around books. She, let me make one point here, she emphasizes too much protein. Someone asked her late in her career if she had anything to change, what would she change? She would say, I've emphasized too much protein. She emphasized perhaps 150 grams of protein. Now, to know what kind of protein most people think about, for every 2.2 pounds body weight, it's been suggested that you ingest 1 gram of protein. Now, for instance, a 4-ounce piece of sirloin strip steak has approximately 35 grams of protein, 25 grams of protein, somewhere like that. That's more protein than your body can handle at one setting, 35 grams of protein. In fact, as recent tests have been determined, a normal human can get by on 40 to 60 grams of protein per day. I won't take the tangent that my mind's telling me to take. Let me just finish up here on the overall. Adele Davis, just the general vitamins and the general minerals. But your body is 10 pounds minerals, 10 ounces vitamins. Keep that in mind, because don't buy a vitamin without a mineral supplement. Don't think a one a day is going to get you by. There's no way in this world that you can take one vitamin, one tablet per day, and have all the nutrients that your body needs. Now, your body has a remarkable recuperative ability to the age of 30 or 40, just to whatever makeup you are. But after that, you start going, that's where they say you go over the hill, and you really do. Things start falling apart. And one of the main reasons we're emphasizing this seminar is that you, as ministers or people in ministry, might be encouraged to keep your temple as maintained as possible for efficiency. Efficiency which leads to effectiveness. I firmly believe that when I'm disciplining myself in the area of nutrition, I feel more like being a leader. I feel more like studying and praying. Now, I know I shouldn't base my spirituality on feelings, but it sure is a lot easier. It sure is a lot more fun to be spiritual when I feel like it, when feelings are right there with me. But if you suffer from low blood sugar, which is a common prevailing disease of our nation, if you suffer from any various amounts of cancer, one doctor thinks that 85% of all Americans will die of cancer, those that aren't killed through car wrecks and strange situations like that. He believes that 85% of all Americans are carrying cancer at present. Some will cure themselves because of the body's amazing, miraculous process of curing itself. He also believes, this is not the William Donald Kelly I'm referring to, he believes that one of the greatest reasons for obesity among Americans is parasites. That's always a bad thing to talk about, parasites, intestinal parasites. He suggests, let me tell you about this, he suggests that if anybody's concerned about the possibility of parasites, even the cystitic parasites, which form cysts and lodge in the muscles, the muscular foundation of life, this process includes a three-day fast on pineapple juice and pineapple. He discussed this at length in this brochure, How to Make Sure You Benefit from the Vitamins You Take, Healthy Newsletter. But the three-day fast, what it does, the pineapple and has in it a digestive enzyme called bromelain. And the bromelain literally digests the protein structure of any parasite. And for 3 days, drink all the pineapple juice you want, eat all the fresh pineapple you can put your hands on, and that's almost a guarantee you can flush out any type of intestinal parasite. You might pass that on to some of your friends that are a little obese, can't cut the weight, just to see if that might help them. Fasting will be the big key to perhaps keep them on a regular keel, though. Systematic fasting. Okay, let me take another direction on the minerals. Instead of emphasizing the vitamins so much, I have a chart here on the wall if you'd like to see what the different vitamins do. There are several categories there, and some of the minerals, what they do, what they're for, how to find them, what foods they're in. Rather than me going into those details, y'all are old enough to read and understand what that's talking about. Let me talk about the minerals for a moment. There'll be a big fluctuation or difference between what one person can take as a mineral and what another can take as a mineral. One of the big minerals of the day is called dolomite, which is high in calcium and magnesium. Most people cannot digest dolomite. Therefore, a lot of pharmaceutical places that are putting together vitamins, nutrition organizations, have prepared what's called chelated minerals. Now, a chelated mineral is this. It's a mineral. You take iron and you bind that with amino acids, which are digested in the small intestine, so that in the stomach it's not disturbed by the hydrochloric acids or other acids. And when that amino acid digests in the intestine, it's so geared that that amino acid digests in a certain portion of the small intestine that iron is absorbed in. Now, doesn't that make sense? Take a little bit of amino acid and wrap it around those molecules of an iron, a little bit of iron. And as that amino acid digests in the small intestine, that iron is released and then it's absorbed. Whereas you take ferrous sulfate, ferrous oxide, iron peptonate, perhaps you're not the kind that can digest that. Perhaps that comes out in balance. So the best mineral, if you're not responding to good minerals that you buy, don't waste your money. If you, as ladies, if you, during the time of the month, the menstrual cycle, experience cramps, you're not getting the magnesium that you're ingesting. If you, after standing for a long time or exercising a lot, and you still have cramps and you're taking a lot of minerals, potassium, phosphorus, calcium, and you still have those cramps, you're not getting the minerals that you're ingesting. So try a chelated brand. And I have way over here on the far end of the table several vitamin brochures that I've culled out of the dozens that I have that are the cheapest sources that I know about. And I order through the mail. You go to, again, nutrition center or health food store, you'll spend $20, whereas here you might spend $7. So that's the way I always shop. Let's leave minerals. Go to another big M. Go to meat. And let me just say a couple of words about meat. Take a few minutes on meat. For the last year and a half to 2 years, sporadically, I've been exercising the discipline of my life and avoiding meat as best I could, trying to be a vegetarian, but I'm what's called a lacto-ovo. Lacto, milk, ovo, egg, vegetarian. Let me help you a little bit with some more direction here. There are 10 body types. Of those 10 body types, there are 4 major categories. Now, I'll give you information where to send off, get all that good stuff later on. The 4 major categories are these. There's one that works best on meat, so you might be him. There's one that works best on vegetables. The metabolism is best on vegetables. There's one that has difficulty with any type of food. You just have to pick and search to find out what you're going to function best on. And there's one that operates on anything. Now, I'm not him. I'm inclined to believe I'm number two. I work best on vegetables. Now, then, where you might want to send off to get some of that information, the Health View newsletter, and I have some of these pamphlets up here if you want to get those, but for those that are listening, the Health View newsletter, 2677 State Highway 70, Manasquan, M-A-N-A-S-Q-U-A-N, New Jersey, 08736. Just ask for the information concerning body types by William Donald Kelly. Now, let me say some of the reasons that I decided to leave meat off. If you leave a piece of meat out on the counter for 5 or 6 hours, I doubt that you'd go back and eat that piece of meat. For some sort of strange reason, we believe that that meat could become a little high in bacteria count. It could do detriment to our system. So why is beyond me. But why do people ingest meat that usually takes 18 hours to digest and builds up all type of toxins in their system? Now, toxins are those things that are going to slow you down because your body's going to send every ready reserve, every antibody it can, every antitoxin it can to fight that toxin. Why is somebody going to do that to themselves? It is beyond me. Occasionally, I eat meat. I don't like to embarrass any hostess that I am served by. So when I'm at somebody's home and I can gently, quietly do without meat, I will. But when I can, I don't let that bother me. And I think as ministers, we've got to stay in the middle of the road. So don't let me scare you. You need to start where you can. It's taken me 5 years to get where I am. I've still just got a long way to go. But I've laid off the meat basically for that reason. I function better without it, or I function just as well, I think, better without it. But there are other reasons for staying away from meat. Meat calls for a tremendous amount of pancreatic enzyme to digest it. Now, Dr. Kelly feels that the lack of pancreatic enzyme is one of the major causes for cancer. I'll talk about his cure for cancer in a few moments. But the pancreatic enzymes breaking down, digesting meat, cannot be used to fight different diseases within the body. The antibodies fighting the toxins that the meat produces cannot be used to fight other serious elements of the body. But let me leave meat alone. That's just something I thought I'd toss out. A book you might like to study on how to balance amino acids so that you make sure you get all the amino acids, all of the 8 essential amino acids. Now, for those of you that have never been exposed to anything like this before, there are 8 essential amino acids for body reproduction, for cell reproduction, for cell metabolism. And those 8 are all found in the vegetable world. You're eating much lower on the food chain. You're eating the grains, and you're eating those things that are the vegetable, fruit nature. And you need to learn how to balance those amino acids. Another good book, that's Diet for a Small Planet by Francis Moore Lepe, L-A-P-P-E, Francis Moore Lepe. And just a good basic book on why it's important to eat low on the food chain. Let me give you one illustration. You eat high on the food chain of an animal that's been eating foods that are grains that have been sprayed with DDT. There's a high, high concentration of DDT in that animal's meat. For instance, you eat a tuna that's been feeding on some waste or some garbage that's been exposed to hepatitis. Well, you have a much higher chance of catching hepatitis than the person that doesn't eat it. One big thing on meats, the 2 different kinds listed in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, tremendous Bible study if you ever get a chance. Those 2 types of meats are the clean and the unclean. What's termed as clean meat are those meats that digest in 18 hours. What's termed as unclean meat are those meats that digest in 3 hours. Dr. Kerry Reams, a physiobiologist, has this to say. Dr. Kerry Reams considers the following foods as unclean meats that should not be eaten. Hogs, guinea pigs, rabbits, muskrats, even snakes. Following fish should not be eaten. Catfish, tuna fish, lobsters, oysters, clams, shrimp, crabs, and scallops, and shellfish of any kind. These unclean meats release energy too quickly for the body to make use of them. They digest them so fast that you cannot use the proteins, which turn into urea and dump into the bloodstream so fast that the kidneys cannot eliminate them. A urea buildup in the body ensues excessive urea leads to many health problems. Dr. Reams contends that the Old Testament food laws are still the wisest method of feeding our bodies for maximum health. He he doesn't advocate a vegetarian diet, nor do I. I think that's one's own conviction. You just have to deal with that yourself. You can find it. Can't find a good, solid, basic diet to stick with. Wait, let's go on and turn that tape over just so we don't go. Well, it's got about another 10 minutes. That's okay. Let's go from meats back to the energy level, because sometimes the meat toxins destroy that energy level. I think one of the worst things that a youth minister can do to his body, and anybody as a matter of fact, is to ingest white sugar and white flour. If you're going to start anywhere, I would set that as a goal, to decrease your consumption of white sugar and white flour. Here's why. White sugar, to be digested, demands B vitamins. Demands all the B vitamins. If the B vitamins are not there, the white sugar will rob B vitamins from other foods, will rob B vitamins from the nerves, will rob B vitamins from the muscles. Let's look at white flour. White flour, white, enriched as it may be, flour begins with some 26, 27, 32 entities, and when it comes onto your table is the white, nice, brown, crusted, pretty piece of bread. It contains perhaps 4 or 6 real nutrients. But it's enriched, but it's been raped, and it hasn't been restored to its original propensity, its original strength. The things that they enrich it with are vitamin B1, B2, and B3. Thiamin, riboflavin, and niacin sit on every bread bag. White flour, as you can back up in your mind and see how they make beer, how they make wine, they always take sugar, water, and some grain. In your body, there's a still going on all the time. And one of the major reasons that people desire and crave white sugar and white flour is because of an addiction to the alcohol that is a byproduct of the white sugar and white flour. So, if you have a sweet tooth and you can't control that sweet tooth, a fast, a good juice fast, would help control that. From time to time, just to curb your appetite, to discipline yourself, get some good spiritual time in with the Lord, and spend time with Him, talking about that discipline, talking about your efficiency, your effectiveness, and cleansing your body. When you come back off of a juice fast, 6 to 10 days, try to drink a cup of coffee. You'll vomit. Try to eat a good sweet cookie. You just won't like it. Try to drink a Coke. It'll make you sick. So I would encourage you, if you're going to start anywhere, start looking at the consumption of white sugar and white flour. I want to give you some practicalities as well as wipe your mind out with all this other stuff. That's a good practicality as to where to start. Now then, as far as the energy level, area we're talking for about for a minute, I found several different supplements, food products, that are tremendous in boosting and bolstering that energy level. One of the newest ones that I've gotten onto is bee pollen, B-E-E, as in the buzz bee, the bee pollen. It's high in protein, high in the B vitamins, and if it can do for me what it does for that bee, I'm going to take some of it. But you can find it at an inexpensive source, bee pollen. The centurions, the people that live over 100 years in Germany, there are just scads of them. I read something in Prevention magazine about them not too long ago. The centurions are the people that keep hives, beehives. They sell the clear honey, the clean honey, and eat the dirty honey from the bottom, which is full of bee pollen. Bee pollen can help ward off asthma, can help ward off allergy by finding good bee pollen eating honey from your locale, which is full of bee pollen. Another big food is brewer's yeast. Not very palatable, but it's high in the B vitamins and many of the minerals. Mixed in with grapefruit juice, quite tasty. You can grow a taste of brewer's yeast. Another high energy food is desiccated beef's liver. Desiccated beef liver. Now, I never could handle chewing up some beef liver, some powderized beef liver. Desiccated means dried and defatted. And I found little tablets that I can take to supplement my diet when I want my energy level high. And those are times that I kind of chunk the vegetarian idea, and when I need energy, I'm going to eat what gives me energy. And desiccated calves' liver, preferably from an Argentina source. American calves, sometimes fatted up by certain hormones that they just ceased using DES, which was a female hormone that fattened the cattle. DES was responsible for a tremendous volume of breast cancer in ladies. DES is no longer used, thank the Lord, in the United States. But Argentina cattle is always corn or grain fed. But another good supplement for energy is lecithin. Lecithin, L-E-C-I-T-H-I-N. Lecithin is a fat emulsifier. Fat emulsifier. You'll find lecithin listed on many of the products in your grocery store. Many of the crummy foods, you can pick up, you'll find lecithin in there. Why? Because the producer, the manufacturer knows it's crummy food and it won't be broken down in the body without the addition of lecithin. Lecithin will help break down and emulsify fats. If you'd like to lose some weight, one of the good ways to lose weight is to eat a high carbohydrate diet, eat a low protein diet, low fat diet, and take some lecithin in your diet. That type of diet is discussed, I believe, in one of Dr. Pablo Arola's books. He suggests the usage of lecithin. Let me stop with those. Those are quite a few just to begin with. And let's go on and turn that tape over now. As far as those energy foods are concerned, let me bring all of that down to perhaps summarization, summary thought. What you're like is somewhat genetically determined at birth, before birth, you're coming together. However, it's somewhat determined, finally determined, by the age 12. Now then, for those of you that are parents or expectant parents or still under age 12, I don't think children under age 12 should be given meat. I have a strong conviction against that. I don't think children under the age of 8 should be exposed to too many nuts or nut butters. Now here's why. It takes so much digestion to take so many enzymes and acids to digest meat and nut butters that if that child is overexposed to those foods too early in life, it can do irrevocable damage, damage through the years later, especially to its digestive and eliminatory organs. For instance, if a child eats too much meat, it takes a lot of vitamin D to absorb or to utilize protein. Now, if all that vitamin D is used in utilizing assimilating protein, it also takes vitamin D to assimilate and utilize calcium. You never take calcium without taking vitamin D. Now, if all that vitamin D is used in the proteins, then none to go with calcium, and you're going to have a very inferior bone structure. A lot of shorter people are going to have this. That's one of the major reasons for that. Blacks, in this climate, in this area, cannot absorb vitamin D like whites because of the pigmentation of the skin. Therefore, in our climate, in our area up here north, you'll find blacks with bowed legs. It seems as though they've had rickets, but they've not. You go down to the equator, I was at the Bahamas this year, you never saw blacks with bowed legs because they had closer to the sun and they can absorb the rays of the sun, the vitamin D. Now, then, another reason blacks, I think, have a stronger musculature. Many blacks are from socioeconomic deprived situations. They can't afford meat as much as a white can. So there's not that interference with what vitamin D they get. And so in those early years, protein assimilation is not engendered, endangered. And in later years, protein assimilation is at a peak. They eat a piece of meat, they get all the benefit from it. Because as a youth, they weren't stifled and limited from ingesting their protein. Does that make sense? Good, y'all are a lot smarter than I am. I can't figure some of these things out. Okay, let's talk about some cures. Look across here. I think this would be a great book if there's anybody in your organization, your church, that's ailing with arthritis. There is a cure for arthritis by Pablo Arola. There are other cures listed for arthritis in this book called Encyclopedia of Common Diseases by the staff of Prevention Magazine, and it's by Rodale Press. Got several ideas there. In fact, tremendous gout cure. A lot of people that eat a lot of meats take in too much purine, one of the amino acids. That purine is not digested properly. That purine sets up purine crystals. Those crystals somehow migrate to the big toe. I don't know all the chemistry behind that. That big toe becomes inflamed, take a little cherry juice. If you cherry, matter of days, case after case, cited in this encyclopedia, gout is totally obliterated. There are several folk cures that are just amazing to me. One of the cures, I won't spend any more time on arthritis just because of our limited time tonight, but another amazing cure is just a cure for the common cold. Since I found this out, in the last 4 years, I've not had a cold. I've caught a symptom of a little sinus, perhaps a sore throat, and started on taking the cure, so to speak. Now, the cure, very simply this. Leave off all toxic foods. That's coffee. That's pasteurized foods. That's meats. Leave those off immediately. If you're going to continue on eating, then make it a fruit and vegetable source. Add some nuts and seeds, some grains. But if you'd like to really kick the cold, go into a fast. The best fast is a tomato juice fast. Here's why. Of the system, the colon is supposed to be a bit acidic. The small intestine is to be somewhat alkali. The stomach, of course, is acidic as it receives the food, but the mouth is somewhat alkali. Now then, what happens in a cold, more times than not, the large intestine gets out of balance. Instead of being acidic, it becomes alkali. Now that sets up an environment for mucus production. And when there's too much mucus, the toxins that are in the system are absorbed into that mucus, and to get rid of the toxins, the lymphatic system comes into play, tries to work the toxins out of the system in this mucus, and the lymphatic system dumps this mucus at its last depot before it hits the brain, which is the sinus. That's where all the mucus comes from. You always thought it came from your brain. No, it comes from your lower intestines. It works its way all the way up through there. Now then, to get that intestinal acid base balance back, go on to tomato juice. It does a great job. I've done it several times. And in time of healing, for instance, 1 month ago, one Sunday, felt like I had a cold coming on. I wasn't ready. Didn't have the willpower to do anything about it. A lot of times it takes real determination. But the next day I woke up with a sore throat. So I stopped eating everything. That afternoon the sore throat was gone, still scratchy. My Tuesday morning scratchiness was gone, a little stuffy. By Wednesday afternoon I could breathe through my nose all day long. By Thursday I was out jogging again, never had any more problems. A little residual sinus, but nothing detrimental. Whereas all the other guys in the school at seminary that were catching that same cold virus, what's called a rhino cold, rhino nose, like rhinoceros, rhinovirus, usually hits a whole swath of people at the same time. People that were affected by that same rhinovirus having to drop out of school days at a time. It was just a real bad respiratory, upper respiratory infection. But my wife got it. She, I believe, is more toxic than I am. She hasn't been practicing these things as long as I have. It kept her out of work one day, but through fasting and through cleansing the body with enemas, always enemas with the fasting, she was back on her feet in 5 days, whereas I knew some guys that went 10, 15, 3 weeks with a residual, just a day after day, sinus and congestion. So there's a cure for common cold. I firmly believe that. There's a cure for gallbladder, gallstones. If you have $1.50, I would really encourage you to buy this. I bought a whole bunch of them when I was coming up here, and it would tell you about a cure for gallstones that will literally blow them out of your system. Now, you may not have gallstones. I'm 27. I didn't think I did either. But I thought, well, there's Dr. Kelly's suggestion. I might as well try it. Let me, for the benefit of those on the tape, better not. Better let them send off and get that too. From HealthView Newsletter. If you'd like to look at that, it's very simple. It takes 1 week to do it by going off of toxic foods, those I mentioned a moment ago, going on to apple juice, and on the sixth day, going through a specialized therapy, and on the seventh day, you'll pass the gallstones through the stool. And I didn't believe I had any. I thought I was a good, healthy boy, been getting on the fasting and nutrients and supplements for 3 or 4 years. I thought I'd just make myself a guinea pig, which I'm always doing, just for fun, so I can tell somebody else whether it works or not. And I collected, believe it or not, 18, 20 small gallstones, anywhere from the size of raisins to grape seeds. And my pastor had just had an operation, had a gallbladder removed, broke my heart that I did not know that information 2 months in advance, which would have saved him 6 weeks of recuperation and no telling what type of problem later on in life without a gallbladder. No big problem, it's just a little sack that holds bile, helps with digestion. So it's a good therapy. I go through it every 6 months. Just make sure no new cholesterol, that's what a gallstone's made of, no new cholesterol is depositing in those bile ducts, or cystic ducts, coming out of the gallbladder. Another thing he suggests is a purge, liver purge. Now, the gallbladder flush is really a liver flush that detoxifies the liver, so highly commendable, but there's a cure for gallstones. I believe, with every ounce of my being, there's a cure for cancer. Dr. Kelly, again, is a research therapist in the area of cancer. Couple practicalities, and then probably the health secret number one. How to get into it. Again, let me go over that. Just start considering fasting for spiritual reasons. Every one of us needs to do that. Not a soul in here couldn't use a good day off with Jesus. When you get into fasting, please consider juice fasting after the first day. If the Lord leads you to a day of a total abstinence, fine. But after that first day, for your own body's sake, unless God's really directing you now, try to get into juice fasting. Please don't drink a vegetable juice and a fruit juice back to back. The enzymes of the body get messed up that way. You can understand that more as you study on it. If you're going to go on a long fast, anywhere from 6 to 10 days, be sure, by all means, to use enema. Then a little bit more on how to get into it slowly. Just this year, set as a goal, leave out white flour. I really encourage you to do that. Another goal this year would be great, to leave off white sugar. And it took me 2 years to get white sugar and white flour out of my diet. And after I dropped down from 250 pounds to 198, which was too fast, too much, I came to learn that one needs to keep one's body weight in correspondence to one's heart size. If you lose too much weight and your heart's larger than what your body weight is supposed to be, you're going to feel very weak, very run down all the time. I operate best anywhere from 210 to 220. But anything over 220, I'm obese. Anything under 210, I'm weak. So I just caution you there. Try to leave those two off, no matter what, how long it takes. Don't try to get into this too fast, please. Go slowly. Just a big thing now I'm trying to leave out of my diet. This is about a 2 or 3 year project. I'm trying to leave out peanuts. Now, why peanuts? Dr. Kelly points out that on the skin of the peanut, when it's stored over a long period of time, develops a toxin called aflatoxin. Aflatoxin is used in cancer research to promote rapid growth of cancers in test animals. So, just kind of looking toward the day when I can do without peanuts. Love those peanuts. Another suggestion, just as you start, find some cheap sources of good vitamins. Prevention Magazine. You can get that through Publisher's Clearinghouse. Publisher's Clearinghouse is a good source for any kind of magazine that you'd like to buy. The address is 382 Channel Drive, Port Washington, New York, 11050. They handle all magazines. They handle Let's Live, another good source for information. Pablo Arola, the author of some books I've mentioned, writes in this magazine each month. But back to Prevention Magazine, scores of articles on good nutrition, dozens of advertisements on inexpensive vitamins. Make sure you're getting a natural source. Several other sources here: U.S. Nutrition, Star Family Discount Catalog, Consumer Vitamin Values, all inexpensive sources of good nutrients. Don't walk into a health food store and spend $50. That'll wipe you out. You'll go home, you won't see any results. It'll really discourage you. If you're going to start on any vitamins, I would suggest a multiple vitamin. If you're going to want a cheap one, get a good prevention magazine and order what's called Preventrolin. Preventrolin, when you buy it in quantities of 1,000, you can get it for about 2 cents a tablet. And as the B vitamins and C vitamins are water soluble, that means every water cycle they're washed out of your system, you need to re-ingest B and C throughout the day. So Preventrolin is so yellow that through the day you get most of all the nutrients you need three times a day. With each meal you take two of the tablets, so you take 6 tablets a day. So for 12 cents a day you're taking a good balance of nutrition. If you're going to get a little step further, you need to supplement your diet with vitamin E. Vitamin E, make sure it's a natural source. Vitamin C is a good one. You can study and find out what all these are good for, a lot of different things, in some of the books that I've mentioned. But again, like I can go into Walgreens, cheapest place I know of, and buy 100 tablets of vitamin C, 500 milligrams, for $1.49. Or I can order 1,000 of them through Prevention Magazine, Natural Source, for $8.88. That's a substantial savings. And I'm always bargain hunting. I think the best vitamin on the market is called Omniplex. Omniplex is made by Essential Organics, box 325L, Organic Park, Dairy, New Hampshire, 03038. It's another 6 tablets a day, but it is the ultimate of natural vitamins. 25 milligrams of all the B vitamins. Another practicality. Just find you, if you have a tendency, have little tics, tremors, cramps, especially during the menstrual times of the month. You as men have cramps after running, charley horses, tendency for colds, not so much for colds, excuse me, but just those cramps, etc. Lethargy, feeling such a downness all the time. Consider getting some good minerals. Start with the cheap minerals. See if they work. See if you have any response to those. Then move toward the chelating minerals. Okay, let's go to the final. Big health secret number one. The thing that will keep you healthy and help you live longer, juice fasting is great for rejuvenation. It'll help. It's part of it. But the big key is systematic under-eating. Systematic under-eating. If you'll take the calories that you eat in a day, instead of eating them in three portions, divide them in six portions, you'll live longer, I believe, and you'll feel much better. Take the same calories you eat in those three portions and divide them into three more portions, and just take in the same amount of calories. Test animals that have been given the equivalent of 2,000 calories, the human equivalent, per day, at one meal, became obese within a matter of days. Broken over three meals, they stayed the same. Broken over six meals, they lost weight. You can lose weight if you take the same calories over an extended time. When I worked with psychology in college, we kept our test animals at 85% of their free feeding weight, and the slim rat outlived the fat rats 10 to 1. Okay, that's my bit. Let me kind of floor some questions from you all, and I'll reiterate them for the advantage of the tape. Well, that's okay, yeah.